Welcome to the Keel Hauled Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Logan, and we've got a lot of Sea of Thieves news to cover today. So, tie yourselves to the mast and hold fast. Ahoy there, pirates. I hope you had yourselves a good week and a good weekend. I know I did. This week, we're going to be diving into some of the things that you need to know about for Twitch drops. There's a little bit of a Reaper parrot flying around, and we finally have an update on what's going on with the PlayStation 5. Your answers are here in the FAQ that I'm going to cover today. So if you have any questions about how this is all going to work as far as like the cosmetics, crossplay, all of that, we're going to cover it. So if you're coming into Sea of Thieves for the first time as a PlayStation player, and you're curious to know about what's going on, I'm going to try and cover all of this so that way this will be a good introductory for you to kind of understand what's going on. A lot of it is pretty standard, but there are some big things that I think we need to talk about. All that and more in this week's episode of Keel Hauled Podcast. But before I get into any of that, I have to thank the patrons. They are the ones that are supporting this content and making sure that the bills are paid, that I am able to save up money for Fest of Legends that's going on over in Ohio this summer. I'm looking forward to it, and the funds that are going to be saved for the Patreon are going towards that right now. Once that comes around, we'll probably take a look and see if there's any upgrades that I need to worry about as far as audio equipment, things like that, or maybe even just something weird. I don't know. We might be saving for something else. But either way, I appreciate the patrons, so I like to call them out every episode. So thank you to Adorabold, Elcute, Balls, Blue Turtle V1, Captain Chonky, Captain Hayes, Captain Longsharts, Chateau Neuf, Super Pack, Zombie Killer, Cloud, Cosmic Johnson, Static Mirror, Iron John, Davram TV, El Jefe Esteban, Fergatron, Godhammer 6, I'm Dependa Now, Jorby Jorbs, J Hood, Carl Embo, Kazia the Aficionado, Cryptic Slayer, Lumpy SRQ, Evil Morpheus, Space Admiral Ors, Xbox Mike 29, Murphy Lives, Mutinous Max, Nipper Kim, Norwegian, Raja the Brave, Registella the Brony Pirate, Replicated Flame, Rustbell Kid, Skamelt 666, Captain Dasm, Tommy D, TN Professor, Real Big Tuna, Big Bad Pad, Mina Fairy, Anthony N. Jr., Captain J. Rad of the Flaming Cold Sore, The Lore Chronologist, Deadeye Dre, Hegger Owl, Jeff H., Captain Duckweed, Evil Martha, Peter Miller, Rooskidoo, Thor Von Blitz, Luke Lore, the Insipid Ghost, and Zam Wow. Thank you all so much for your love, for your support. It means the world to me, especially when I have some of these breaks where I miss an episode. You all are still supporting, and it really does touch me that you accept that and you're open to that, because I know with support comes content, and content, if that doesn't come, why is there a reason to support? Well, it's because you guys really appreciate me. At least I'm assuming you do, because you're supporting me. So I appreciate you for this. First on today's docket, let's talk about my absence. So I have missed quite a bit of episodes this year alone. That's not something that I like to do. But there is one thing that I am starting to notice, and one thing that I need to address in an episode. So first off, I just want to take a few minutes to thank everyone who's been listening and supporting, joining up on the Discord, sharing experiences with each other and helping each other get to places in Sea of Thieves and get things done that need help from other folks. And speaking of needing help, I am needing help with myself. I have been going through quite a bit in my personal life. Nothing that I'm going to kind of get into outside of people that already know. What this means for me, though, is that I need to try and take time to better myself. Now, whether that's through taking time away from content creation or taking time away from gaming, I want to focus on bettering myself, both physically and mentally, because there's a lot that I'm realizing I'm not doing for myself. It's something that I think a lot of us struggle with. Self-care is one of those like things that you kind of put on the back burner because you're not really thinking about it. There's so much other stuff to get done. And, you know, you're always trying to take advantage of the time that you have. And it's important to take time for yourself to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. So I'm getting some help. I'm also working on taking care of my body. I'm going to start trying to get a lot healthier. It's never been something that I've ever really concerned myself with because it's never been a problem. But it is a problem that I should work on now before it gets to a point where I can't go, you know, before you cross the Rubicon, as they say. You know, you want to make sure that you take care of things and yourself before they get to a point where you can't do anything, because otherwise you really don't have many options. So I'm trying to do better about that. What that might mean in the future is that I might start taking weeks off to do other things, to go out, to touch grass. I've been touching grass recently, and I'm starting to develop a feel for it. You know, I'm starting to get accustomed to it. It doesn't itch, which is nice. And it's green, which is not like the sea all the time. You know, kind of prefer that blue, but, you know, it's different. It's like the ocean in a way, you know, if you get into a big open field. But regardless, I've been trying to get out and do more, trying to get outside of my house. I do work from home as well as make content from home. So a lot of my time is spent in one or two rooms in this small little apartment. And to try and better my health, I'm going to try and be a lot more open to going out and to doing things that I normally wouldn't do, that I think would be better for just my mental health. And I hope this is something that resonates with you. And I hope that what this does is help kind of let you know, like, you should take care of yourself as well. I say it from time to time during the Patreon callouts that, you know, support is always appreciated, but please take care of yourself first before you take care of the podcast. The same thing goes for your everyday life. You know, take some time to really focus on taking care of yourself, because if you're not taking care of yourself, and in my case, you deprive others of the joy that is who you are as a person. You start becoming a person that you don't want to be. And this is kind of a wake-up call for me. It's self-correct. I'm having to right the ship and get back on track with my life, and not let things like content creation and playing games and staying up to date with everything rule that more than other priorities in my life. So thank you to all of my friends who have been helping me. This is going to be a long and painful road for me, but the goal is to come out the other end with tools and knowledge that I don't have right now, that I'm having to admit that I don't have. It's hard to know what your problems are, and it's even harder to act on getting those problems fixed. So I hope you all are taking care of yourselves, because I care that you are taking care of yourselves as much as I realize that I need to take care of me as well too. So please, if you are out there and you need help, take time to seriously consider getting that help. Next on today's docket, I wanted to let you all know about some drops that hopefully you got a chance to actually get. We found out that, or I guess this has been a little known for a while, but we did have Twitch drops. So if you are a PlayStation player, just know that they tend to have Twitch drops once a month or every other month. And this time for April, from the 5th to the 8th, we had four different drops. These were the Rascal Sea Dog, Compass, Drum, and Fishing Rod. If you're familiar with the ship sets, or you're coming into this is a great way to start getting some free cosmetics, to kind of like give a little variety, since Sea of Thieves is based on cosmetics. Everything in the game revolves around it, since there are no power levels. You want to make sure that you are happy with the way that you look, and getting free Twitch drops is a great way to kind of get some stuff from stores without actually having to farm up the gold to be able to buy those from the shopkeep. So kind of nice to have this out there. I believe I'm still currently working on them. Again, like I mentioned, and you might have actually noticed. If you did notice and you're kind of thinking, oh, Logan sounds a little different. Well, you might have already figured that out. But if you haven't, the reason why I'm getting my Twitch drops so late in the week is, or the weekend, I guess, is because I was out at karaoke last night and absolutely destroyed my voice. But I got a lot of really good songs in, rented a room. I love karaoke rooms because you get full access. You don't have to wait for a DJ to call your song. You're not fighting people for the same songs. You're not having to buy drinks for the sake of buying drinks just so you can sit in a bar. It's just a much more inviting experience. So I was doing that. So my voice is pretty raspy right now and very tender, but I am getting my Twitch drops. Started off with Mads, I think yesterday for a little bit. Jumped over to Fuzzy Bond, and now I'm watching Mifu. So great to have these streamers kind of help supporting content creation, help supporting themselves. Hopefully you guys have an opportunity to support them if you are going to be getting drops from them, or at least at the very least, just kind of, you know, follow them. Let them know that, hey, I really appreciate you being online streaming so that I could get these Twitch drops, because it is 4 hours worth of content that you do need to kind of accumulate to be able to get these. And just make sure that your Xbox account and your Twitch account are paired so that you are able to access these drops eventually. Next up on today's docket, let's get into the meat and bones of this episode, which is going to be Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5. Your questions have been answered, and as well as a little bit of I don't know, maybe call it frustration or annoyance with some of the answers that we got. But we have the news post that went up this week. I'm going to be reading through this and kind of talking about some of the different things that you can, or at least I think about this and how it's going to turn out as we get closer and closer to that April 30th launch date. So they announced on 3rd of April, since we announced in February that Sea of Thieves is coming to PlayStation 5, we've had an influx of questions about what players can expect from the experience. Today we answer as many of those as we can. So sit tight, grab a cuppa, and take in all the juicy info regarding the ins and outs of our big PlayStation 5 release on April 30th. So, first question: if I've played Sea of Thieves before, will my progress/items transfer? Fear not, commendation collectors. When linking your PlayStation and Microsoft account, which sounds like heresy, any active pirate character becomes playable in the PS5 version of Sea of Thieves. This means that any progress made with that pirate, including commendations, cosmetics, Twitch drops, and accumulated gold doubloons and ancient coins, will synchronize across all other platforms linked to that account. There are some caveats that we'll talk about later on. Despite the presence of a limited selection of designated platform exclusives, all additional cosmetics that players have previously acquired or bought will remain accessible when playing the PlayStation 5 version of Sea of Thieves. This selection is subject to change as cosmetics become available through alternative avenues, and we will keep you updated as this progresses. There's a lot of loaded statements in this first little answer. Only cosmetics and items obtained through platform exclusive offers may not be fully equipped across different devices. For instance, the Duke ship cosmetics linked to the Xbox Series X/S launch won't be usable on PlayStation 5. Similarly, items like the Ruby Viper cosmetics or Dauntless Adventurer closed beta rewards exclusive to PlayStation pre-order campaigns won't be equipable on Xbox or Steam. Now, this is kind of where a lot of the contention has arisen in the community. As I have said in the past and on multiple shows, a lot of Sea of Thieves players were looking to get the cosmetics that were going to be offered for these pre-orders and as well as the beta, closed beta access. Now, I do think that this is a real bummer. It sucks to know that you're not going to be able to use stuff vice versa between the two consoles. But you also have to remember that this is a first party Microsoft Xbox game being made available for the first time on Sony's PlayStation. The fact that this is even happening is a real detour from what we normally expect when it comes to exclusives. And because of that, there's going to be a lot of legislation, or not legislation, but litigation and contracts drawn up between these two companies to determine how are they going to address promotional content, because it is promotional content. When the Duke ship cosmetics came out, you had to own or be able to log into an Xbox Series X or S. There were workarounds for this, but those were workarounds that I don't believe Rare or Xbox had taken into account. But those are exclusive to the Xbox Series X and S launch. Had you not taken the year to log in somehow to a Series S or X, or, you know, in this case, like, you know, a Game Pass Ultimate through cloud streaming, you could not get these. And they have not been made available ever since, which is Rare. And not Rare the company, but Rare in the freak. You get it. You understand. So when I look at this, I see there is precedent for this from PlayStation. PlayStation has had many companies who have had cosmetics created exclusive for their console that cannot be used or used by other console platforms. The nearest example to this that we most recently have seen that I can recall was actually when the video game Marvel's Avengers came out. Now, that was a live service game. They had a standard roster of characters that was and they were a third party company, no less, that were putting out regular content and regular characters in the MCU on a frequent basis. Now, the game itself may have died, but one of the things that was exclusive to PlayStation, and this is partially because of the rights that they hold for Marvel, is they have exclusive video game access to Spider-Man. So when Marvel's Avengers was announced, a lot of people were interested in playing as Spider-Man. He's one of the most, if not the most, famous and popular Marvel character. So when you look at what was going on there, anyone that pre-ordered through Xbox or purchased the game at any given time never was offered access to Spider-Man. That was a console exclusive through PlayStation. And as a result, a lot of people were very upset because Spider-Man is exclusive to Sony. Sony has those rights and they're able to dictate who gets access to Spider-Man in games. Now, there are some workarounds to this that I think Marvel can dictate, but a lot of this is all kind of caught up in contracts and in licensing rights. So taking something like that and looking and seeing like, okay, well, Sony has a history of making content exclusive to their platform, even if the game is third party. That shows that when I look at what's going on with Rare, Microsoft is saying, okay, we will go ahead and do marketing promotional material for not only the beta, but also for pre-orders. And Sony's saying that's fine, but there's no reason for people to buy this if they're able to get this content on your platform. So we want to have that content exclusive to PlayStation, so they have to buy it here. Now, I know that a lot of you who are playing on Xbox or on PC may not own a PlayStation 5. And for you, the alternative here was to have someone potentially log into an account that you've created on their PS5 to be able to claim those cosmetics so that you could then go back to your original platform of choice, whether it be PC, Steam, the Windows Store, or Xbox, whether it's a One or an S or an X, and to be able to have these Ruby Viper cosmetics or the Dauntless Adventurer closed beta rewards, right? Now that we know that these are not going to be able to be equipped on an Xbox or PC, and that they are strictly console exclusive, I have seen a lot of folks, rightly so, canceling their pre-order. First off, don't pre-order if you know you're not going to, if you're not sure about a game. Don't ever buy it off of hype. Also, always be sure that you ask for a refund prior to launch so that it's a lot easier to get that game pre-order canceled, because in my experience, companies don't often want to give money back if they don't have to. So if you did pre-order this, and this is the first time that you're finding out that your cosmetics from the PlayStation version are not going to be able to be accessed via any other platform, please take a moment, write a little note down, sticky it onto your monitor, or put it, you know, tell Siri or Google to remind you when you get home after the drive to go and cancel those pre-orders if that was the intent of you pre-ordering the PS5 version. Okay, got that done? Excellent. I personally will probably be keeping my PS5 pre-order. I would like to take part in the beta. I would like to actually have those Ruby Viper cosmetics. And I genuinely want to try out the game on PlayStation. I have my PlayStation. I play it from time to time. Not too often, but from time to time. And I would be interested to kind of feel what it's like to play with a PlayStation controller that has full support. And we'll get into that later. But it is kind of a bummer that this is how Sony, I believe, is conducting business. Because I believe that they probably would have actually had far more double dippers from the Xbox ecosystem looking to get cosmetics. And being so litigious about this, and showing that they are probably wanting to try and be platform exclusive with a lot of their cosmetics, which is, again, something that they've set the precedent on. And I don't imagine that this is something that Rare wants to deal with, because they're just trying to make the game. And Xbox is fine with them making content for Sony. And Sony may be saying like, okay, well, we want exclusive cosmetics. And Xbox is like, fine, you're going to be like this. Your people can't access the Duke cosmetics because we're not going to give those back out. And even if we do, we don't think that it's really cool that you're being like this. So it's probably up to lawyers in an office between Xbox and Xbox and PlayStation. And honestly, it's just harming consumers at this point, because it may not be harming consumers. You probably might save some money. Hey, take that money, go out to dinner, you know, go get a nice dinner. Yeah, it's like $40. You could have like a decent dinner with someone with that $40. All right, moving on. Will there be special cosmetics to celebrate the launch of Sea of Thieves on PlayStation? We already answered this. Why is this a question? I always wonder why these things happen the way they do. Pirates who pre-order the PlayStation 5 will gain exclusive access to 4 Ruby Viper. It's not 4. They didn't talk about the other two guns that are, or the other weapons that are coming in the future, but hey, that's okay. You get 4 Ruby Viper weapons and the Scarlet Storm Parakeet, which is actually pretty adorable. I'm not going to, you know, be upset about that. Additionally, those participating in the PS5 closed beta will also earn the Dauntless Adventurer sales and title as unlockable rewards. These cosmetics are classified as non-transferable and will be exclusive to players on the PlayStation platform. Again, pretty sure this is because Sony is just the way they are about this stupid stuff. We are currently making plans for a unique sale that will be available to all players during the PlayStation 5 launch period. This sale will commemorate the coming together of pirates across all platforms. Stay tuned for further details. Now, that's an interesting one, because we don't know what that's going to look like. As far as I know, I haven't seen any leaks or anything about that come out. And it is kind of cool that there's going to be a specific sale that will be made up for all players to celebrate the PlayStation 5 launch. Something for everyone is always better. And, you know, Xbox always has that saying, play anywhere. You know, the more people that play, the better we off, better off we all are. And that's mostly speaking to giving access to to people, not more people all barreling down onto the servers to destroy them, which will most definitely happen, by the way. Why do I need to use a Microsoft account to play on PlayStation 5? Whether you're a seasoned pirate or just starting out, you'll need to sign in with a Microsoft account to play Sea of Thieves. For those already sailing the seas, this means you can seamlessly continue your adventure and share progress across platforms. Newcomers will find that their Microsoft account keeps track of their pirate's journey, antics, and adventures, making sure that everything stays in place between game sessions. Little bit of a heads up there. If you do happen to have a PC, they may get into the conversation about Play Anywhere, but I believe that is Xbox exclusive. That is not something that will cross over to PlayStation. But we'll keep going through these notes and these FAQs and see what we find out. Curious about your progress? Well, simply log in to www.seaofthieves, it's not a wrestling site, .com using your Microsoft account. You'll gain instant access to a wealth of essential pirating information, from checking your cosmetic inventories to keeping tabs on your hard-earned currency. Every aspect of your pirating progress is at your fingertips. I'm surprised they didn't use that as a way to kind of promote the Emporium. Furthermore, you can easily track your seasonal progress and showcase your commendations, symbolizing your daring feats on the high seas. Fashion-savvy pirates can also access the... Of course they did. Fashion-savvy pirates can also access the Pirate Emporium, where you can browse and buy hundreds of cosmetics for your pirate and ship, the newest of which are seamlessly accessible via the website and purchasable, I'm adding this in, with real, actual money. The Pirate Emporium, if you don't know, for PlayStation 5 users, the Pirate Emporium is the store. That is, it's accessible both in-game and outside of game, and also through the website. But that is the quote-unquote real money store. It's also how they fund their progress in making the game. So all the updates that are in Sea of Thieves and will continue into the future are always free. So you never have to worry about purchasing download or updates. So if a new content update comes, doesn't matter when it is, it will always be free from what they've done in the last 6 years to the foreseeable future. Moving on, how will friend invites work? The updated in-game friends list on PlayStation 5 now displays players' existing Xbox friends list alongside their PSN friends list, enabling them to easily invite from both platforms to join cross-play sessions. PlayStation users will also have the option to utilize the platform's friends list to either invite friends to their session or join their friends' session with ease. Next question, jumping in. That was pretty straightforward. Will playing Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5 require Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus? PlayStation players will need a PS Plus subscription to engage in multiplayer gameplay. But even without an active subscription, you can still sail solo in Safer Seas mode. PlayStation players won't be required to purchase an Xbox Game Pass subscription when playing on a PlayStation 5. Seemed like that was kind of like a no-brainer, but you know, you never know with these things, so it's good to find out. While playing solo in Safer Seas does not require a live subscription, this is not an offline mode, as it is still connected to servers hosted in the cloud. Safer Seas can usually be played with a crew, but playing without a live subscription only enables solo play. Joining other player sessions or inviting them to your own is not possible while playing the game in this way. Also, Safer Seas mode still allows access to the vast majority of content in the game, including the all story-driven Tall Tales, which is great. That's about 30 hours worth of content for you. Actually, it's probably more than that by now. The original ones were about 30 hours. They've probably tacked on to that probably another, I don't know. I'd probably say at least another 30 hours worth of content in the other ones. Like the original 9 was about 30. If you went through it naturally, and I would say like the Heart of Fire stuff, the Pirate's Life and the Monkey Island, that's probably at least another good 30 hours. There's probably a good 60 hours worth of just Tall Tales you could do solo without having to purchase a live subscription service. Notable exceptions are PvP focused elements such as the Reaper's Bones, which is a faction, and faction battles, which is kind of like a head-to-head solo or a head-to-head ship, one ship versus another ship, same type of ship, as well as the Athena's Fortune Trading Company and world events such as the Fort of the Damned and Fort of Fortune. So Athena Fortune or Athena's Fortune is kind of like the end game for Pirate Legends. You have to become a Pirate Legend to be able to gain access to the Athena's Fortune Trading Company to be able to purchase anything or interact with them. It also gives you a special place to go in the game once you do hit that. The way you hit that is by hitting level 50 in three trading companies that are not the Athena's Fortune. Doesn't matter which three they are, but you do have to hit 50 in at least three of those. They did have a link in here talking more about Sea of Thieves, not, Safer Seas. I'm not going to go into that. Will there be PlayStation only servers? Now, this is a pretty interesting one because we do have Xbox only servers. This was created as a way to try and segregate the console players on controller from the PC players for folks who felt like there was an unfair advantage. There is an unfair advantage, to be perfectly honest. Having a mouse and keyboard does offer a lot more functionality than what a controller can do, just due to the number of buttons and hotkeys that are available to PC players versus controllers. Not to say that skill can't bridge that gap, because it most certainly can. And if you go back to like Halo, controller was very preferred, and it still is in a lot of different esports. But most people would probably agree with me that having mouse and keyboard is superior to an extent. It won't be the be all end all for everything, but it does offer a nice boost in the way like I can spam three or four buttons and quickly access items that I naturally would have to either map to a specific controller button, which is tough because there's only a limited number there and you can't rebind any back paddles to new types of buttons. You can remap previous buttons, but you can't make new buttons out of those, which again, I actually really don't know why that's the case. A little tangent here. Honestly, the fact that back paddles on controllers or back buttons on controllers can't be generated as new buttons and programmed as additional buttons, because you could have like another four buttons, or you know, if you build a shift functionality, you could have another eight buttons in there. The fact that that is not a thing drives me mad, because it's so easy to be able to set this up. The software is already built into the hardware. Just let us do that. Xbox and PlayStation, now that I think about it, both of you all, it's ridiculous. I forgot where I was when we were talking about this. Oh, mouse and keyboard support. That's right. Going back. All right. We're rolling it back. Servers. So pirates playing on PlayStation can deactivate cross play functionality, thereby restricting their gaming sessions to exclusively include other PlayStation users. Players will also have the option to confine gameplay to fellow controller users, enabling play between both PlayStation and Xbox players who favor controller-based gameplay. So this is kind of an awesome way to really kind of address like, how do you deal with crossplay? So not only are PlayStation users going to be able to have multiple options, the options are only PlayStation users or only controller-based users or a mix of all. And the way that that's going to help with a lot of folks who are struggling with the game, the PlayStation ecosystem, their platform generally has more players as a console than, say, Xbox. So they will have a fair amount. And if you are on PlayStation fan and you're planning on picking this up, you might be worried about, well, what about the server capacity? How does that get worked out when you're looking at dwindling numbers on PlayStation? Well, the nice thing is that servers currently are capped at 5 ships, which means you can have at max 5 galleons or 20 players per server. No, wait, Yeah, that's right math, right? Yeah, because 16, 4 and 4 is 16, 4 and 5 is 20, 4 and 6 is 24. Okay, I did multiplication one day. So yes, currently servers are 5 galleons at max, which means that at any given time, if there are fewer than that and everything's working, you should get merged over naturally to another server. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of ways that you can do that already, both with voyages as well as PvP, or just going through Talltale portals. There's lots of options. You can even scuttle your ship and transfer to a new server if you're being harassed and you're not happy with it. But there's lots of ways to transfer servers, especially if your server feels like it's dead and you're either looking for more excitement or it's too spicy and you're looking for something a little more low key. All servers seem to have a bit of a flavor to them, and each one is going to either be pretty spicy or not spicy at all, or most of the time I would say they're kind of somewhere in the middle. A little bit of spice, not too much. You can still have it and not have to worry about drinking like a glass of milk afterwards, as I look at the glass of milk taunting me, waiting for me to dunk some Oreos in there. Sorry again that you guys don't get the Oreo sales. That was a really nice thing that we had to do. Weird workaround like we always do with cosmetics, because regulations in different countries or whatever, there's always some weird promotion going on that we'll jump through hoops to be able to get cosmetics. And this is one of the few times that we can't because Sony. But where was I? I forgot where I was. Servers, being able to merge servers. So you'll be able to have your own servers. You'll be able to have servers that are just for controller users, or you can just play whomever you want and not have to worry about the ugliness that is just PlayStation users, just controller users. I like to be eclectic in my play style and welcome all forms of gamer to our servers. We will sink and take your loot all. It does not matter. The more the merrier. It just lets you learn how to fight against the best of the best or the worst of the worst. But you'll have options. And I think that to me at the end of the day, that's the big thing. I care more about options than anything else, honestly. All right. Next question. If someone has purchased a digital version of the game that allows them to play to both Xbox and PC, will it also allow them to play on PlayStation 5? This is talking about Play Anywhere. So to embark on Adventures in Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5, players will need to obtain one of the editions of the game, standard, deluxe, or premium, available from the PlayStation Store. Xbox Play Anywhere remains solely available through Xbox and the Windows Store. Very key that people know about this, because that was something that I'd seen around. People were not sure because of Play Anywhere if they'd be able to get a license through PlayStation. Unfortunately, when beta tests were going out for the Steam client, I don't think Rare thought about this, but the beta client was just named Sea of Thieves. And they gave everyone a code to be able to get the Steam client beta access to be able to test the game through Steam's store. When the game came live, it didn't really seem like they knew how to transition people from the demo or from the beta, because it was effectively just the full game. So everyone that participated in the beta on the Steam client just got it. They just got the game for free. This is not the case on PlayStation, unfortunately. You will have to actually buy the standard, deluxe, or premium version. Currently, those are ranging between 40 and 60 American dollars. I don't know what they are in yen. My apologies. Or whatever the Canadian dollar is. But I'm willing to bet it's probably like 70 bucks to 100. Where were we going with that? Okay, so yes. Unfortunately, Xbox Play Anywhere, as in the name, suggests that it only plays anywhere on Xbox. With the introduction of a larger player pool, will we see 6 ships on a server again? This feels like it's more keyed into the people that know what that even means, which is the Xbox and PC players. So the team are currently exploring the return of 6 ship servers and will update players accordingly. I would not hold my breath on this. The game is in a bit of a state right now. There have been numerous crashes that I've seen anecdotally from friends in the community. It does not seem to be anything that I've seen streamers really harp on about. I don't know if that's just, you know, happenstance. It's all kind of anecdotal. We don't really have like a crash percentage for the client. But I have seen and struggled with this myself in other ways. So hopefully this won't be something that really plagues people and they can start to work back up to that six ship servers, because that's generally when things get the most interesting. How will the influx of players affect server stability? The team are ready to welcome new PlayStation players to the seas, and our live service capabilities have been scaled in preparation for launch. I don't know if I really have anything to say about this, because I don't know if anything I have to say about this is positive, but I hope that they have. They've been through a couple launches now, and I would imagine that they probably have a decent idea on what this is going to look like, especially given the history that we've seen with community weekends and community days. They most definitely know that they can have like a pretty heavy server capacity from time to time. So trying to make sure that they're taking that into account is appreciated. Next question, are there plans to prioritize bugs ahead of the launch? The team have been prioritizing quality of life improvements during our monthly updates in the run-up to the launch of PlayStation 5. We continue to maintain our unwavering commitment to the health and longevity of the game. That is a true statement. That is 100% factual. They are very much committed to it. They definitely struggle with it, and I think that a lot of PlayStation users will have to kind of acknowledge and recognize that the game, as a live service, the team themselves probably roughly somewhere between, say like 200 to 400 employees, depending on if you're taking into account the little side studios that they have working on the game as well. But they're not Fortnite. They're not Bungie. They do not have a huge team with masses with a mass of people just ready and waiting to kind of knock out any tiny little bug. And at that point, you just kind of have to think like, okay, if this is a game that is going to not be 100% solid all the time, I might want to consider reaching out to other people and getting their thoughts, their opinions before the game actually launches and you get locked into that purchase, right? So just do some due diligence on there. I want to make sure that you're happy with the purchase. Next question. How will the PS5 version of Sea of Thieves work with the PlayStation 5 DualSense controllers? Well, it's a wild controller. Definitely one of the best ones out there. I have thoughts on whether or not it's the best. I think there's things that I like about it more than Xbox, but definitely things that I dislike more about it than Xbox as well, too. So here's the answer. Sea of Thieves support the PlayStation 5 DualSense controller, including several of its unique features. Haptics. Sea of Thieves uses the haptic feedback technology within the DualSense controller to enhance the experience of movement and interacting with the world. I really like the haptics with the DualSense, I'm not going to lie. Adaptive triggers. Sea of Thieves uses the adaptive triggers with the DualSense controller to heighten game gunplay, allowing players to feel each pull of the trigger. Now, let me just sit back here for a little bit and just kind of take this in for a moment. Adaptive triggers, in my experience, have been very hit and miss. There's only a few games out there that really do adaptive triggers well. Most of the time, I end up turning off adaptive triggers because, as cool of a feature as it is, when I am trying to pull the trigger, it is usually because I'm trying to kill something. And if I'm killing something, I generally want the least amount of resistance in killing that thing, because it's most likely going to be a scenario where that thing kills me or I kill that thing. And the easier it is to kill that thing, it will probably be likely that I survive not getting killed by that thing. So when it comes to triggers, when there is resistance, I usually turn that off. And mostly because the sensitivity for that is not well built, not on the controller hardware aspect of it, but the developers typically do not build the software around it to really be something that you can tweak and play around with. If they did that, most likely the adaptive trigger feature itself would be good enough that you shouldn't have to, because they invested time in it. It feels like this might be just kind of a quick little plugin that they do to be able to take access and then set a point of resistance to be able to have to push through to click the trigger. I do not like that. Sea of Thieves has a very small health pool. You can get one shot with a weapon. You can get two shot with two other weapons. And the third current weapon takes four swings of your sword to be able to kill someone. So that, on top of the types of food that we have in the game to restore health, it is very easy for people to eat through damage, which means that the time to kill can be tricky. And the last thing that I want to have to think about is how hard I'm pulling a trigger when I'm trying to kill someone. That is not the thing that I want to think about. I want to think about how quickly they will be dead so I can go back to triaging my ship, which is probably taking some damage, as that's why I probably have someone on my ship, or vice versa, where you're on another person's ship and you're trying to lock that ship down. You're trying to ensure that you can get people dead so they can go to the ferry and you have more time to let that ship sink. The next one is built-in microphone and speaker. Sea of Thieves uses the built-in microphone so players can chat with their friends without the need for a connected headset. In my experience, this is not a great microphone. It's not really a decent microphone. It is, however, a microphone. And there is, however, a speaker. And if you want to use those, you can. I would not recommend succumbing anyone to that, because there's not really a noise gate on it. There's no mic muting. There's no mic monitoring. And if any of those make sense to you, congratulations, you've done a little bit of due diligence when it comes to audio. But I do not see this being something that many PlayStation users use on a regular basis, unless you're in a lobby for Call of Duty, in which case the dude who's probably very stoned has decided that he accidentally hit the button, or most likely someone has like flubbed it and accidentally hit it. They don't even know it's on, and you're just hearing that little beep in the background every like 30 seconds because they're too lazy to replace the batteries in their smoke alarm, and it's driving you insane when all you want to do is just try and get this map finished so that you can get some more battle pass progress. I have not ever dealt with this in my entire life of gaming. Next question. Will there be a version of Sea of Thieves compatible with the PSVR 2? As someone who was foolishly buying into the PSVR 2, thinking that Sony was actually going to support that hardware, no. The team have no current plans to integrate PSVR 2, and rightly so. It's dead hardware, unfortunately. Not officially, but I would argue that it is most definitely dead hardware. So no reason to really like justify that. You can already get, I don't know where that yawn came from. I'm wide awake. I'm not sure what that was all about. Sorry. I'm not sure if you know this, but you can actually get Sea of Thieves on VR through other fashions. In fact, I'm not going to force anyone to go look someone up on Twitter just to bug them about it. But yeah, there's tools out there to be able to allow that. And next question, what do we got here? Will Sea of Thieves work on the PlayStation Portal? Yes. If you know what a PlayStation Portal is, you should already know this answer. And if you don't, PlayStation Portal is effectively it's like a handheld streaming device, something I think a lot of folks can relate to. Just imagine like your phone with a little controller on each side of it, designated for just the PlayStation, and then realize that the money that you spent on that was probably really, really high as well too. Not to say that it's a bad thing, but it is just a little too pricey for anything that I want to do. I'd much rather get a Logitech G Cloud on sale for like $250 and be able to access both PlayStation and Xbox and Steam content from one device. Will the PS5 version have a performance mode that allows 120 FPS? This is something that is available on Xbox. Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5 is optimized to run at 60 frames per second in 4K resolution, with an additional performance mode available for supported TVs allowing for 120 Hertz refresh rates at 1080 resolution. This is this has parity with the Xbox Series X experience. Now, what I want to say about this, 1080p still looks fine on a 4K screen when it comes to Sea of Thieves. The graphic style allows you to have a little bit of that fuzz that still makes the game look really good. There is nothing more beautiful than that sweet, sweet, buttery smooth 120 FPS. It's amazing. And if you get a chance to see that in Sea of Thieves, looks good. Looks really good. Will there be a version of the Insider program available for PlayStation players? Yes. Log into the Sea of Thieves website and you'll find more details added to the Insider program hub as when they become available. So if you don't know, the Insider program, that is the NDA or non-disclosure agreement that you have to agree to, which is not discussing the game, hence non-disclosure agreement that you sign for Rare, saying that you will not talk about anything in the Insider program outside of the Insider program. That's why it's called the Insider program. I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm just trying to get the obvious out of the way. This is a program that rewards people up to a certain number of weeks every week that you play the game and put 1 hour into the actual Insider program. You get either currencies or cosmetics, little things that you can put on your game in the main game outside of the Insider program. And if you're interested in it, just treat it like Fight Club. That's my best recommendation. Which trophies will be available, and if I've already unlocked trophies via existing platforms, which would be achievements, will I still be able to quote-unquote platinum Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5? Will trophies auto-unlock if I previously met the criteria? This is a good question, actually. All active Sea of Thieves achievements on Xbox and Steam will convert into trophies on PS5. While existing achievement progress may result in some trophies unlocking immediately upon login, players will need to replay to fully unlock trophies on PS5. I think what they're talking about here really does kind of come down to Tall Tales, because they do have a bit of a struggle with that at the moment. Both new and existing players can progress through the base trophy set of 60 trophies to achieve the new platinum trophy, Pirate Perfectionist. I'm going to be checking this out because I'm very curious about this. I don't have very many platinums on my PlayStation. And honestly, like Destiny 2 was an easy one because it auto popped. And I think Sea of Thieves is going to be another one. So it'd be kind of cool to have another platinum. I actually kind of like platinum trophies. I think they're cooler than what do they call it? Achievements. I think achievement points is weird. It doesn't really translate into anything special because you can get them just about anywhere. Or for doing, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that debate. Additionally, although more trophies will be added over time, similar to achievements, only the initial base set of trophies at launch will contribute towards unlocking the platinum title. That just kind of helps ensure that you can get that even if they add more later on without having to worry about when stuff was available. If I choose or if I participate in the closed beta, will my progress carry over to launch? I actually know the answer to this. Participants in the closed beta will be able to earn renown, currency, and cosmetic rewards as part of the Season 11 Seasonal Progress Track. Their pirates will keep these rewards, and these items will be accessible when the game launches globally at the end of April. They will be also rewarded with 10 levels of renown towards their Season 12 Seasonal Progress Track as a thank you for participating. If you're a PlayStation user, you're not too familiar, the renown is the experience that you earn in each season pass. It is a level. Whenever you earn a level of renown, you unlock some cosmetics. The free version of the Plunder Pass, or the Season Pass, as they call it, the Plunder Pass, is really kind of honestly very generous. You get a lot of cosmetics for free. It's completely free for the free tier. It's not like things are locked out of it. The Plunder Pass is $10 in America. You can purchase that to get the cosmetics that are specific to the Plunder Pass. You do not get any kind of experience bonuses if you purchase the Plunder Pass towards the free pass. There's no like multipliers really. And genuinely, like just playing the game, you will eventually get the season pass without having to worry about the trials or the deeds or anything that is really kind of particular that you can do to get, you know, like additional renown and experience that way. But if you're just playing the game on a regular basis, over the course of 3 months, you will probably run into that level 100 without really like having too many issues. It's fairly easy to work through these. The closed beta participants will not be able to engage with the Pirate Emporium and will only be playing with other PlayStation players during this period. It's a server test. While trophies will be disabled during the closed beta, progress towards them will be tracked, carried over, and unlocked appropriately upon launch of the retail version. So that kind of makes sense. I imagine that they're probably looking to remove people who have played it on Xbox to be able to just log into the beta with the pre-order, get the platinum, and then cancel the pre-order. That's if the cynical Logan is looking at this, that's what I would say is probably the reason for it. Honestly, I think it ties a lot deeper into when the game is actually technically available for purchase. As far as like a live game. But I don't know the details in that. No one's ever going to like reveal like what's going on with there. So we'll just have to kind of make guesses and assumptions. So, and that's it. That was it, guys. We made it through the FAQ. I'm very happy to hear that they've been able to actually release a lot of this information, both prior to the actual beta launch, which is going on next week. I'm trying to think when that's actually going to be happening. Let me see if I can look that up real quick. Hold, please. Oh, yeah, I was right. Okay, so it launches on April 12th. Which is convenient because I'm going to have a lot of free time. So I will probably be spending some time that weekend actually doing that outside of going to do. No, never mind. So yeah, April 12th is when that is going to be going on. Nice that they came out with this about a week before so that folks can have an opportunity to kind of like understand what's going on, address the fact that cosmetics are not going to be transferable between platforms for the pre-order and the beta access. It's a shame that this information wasn't made available back in February. I think a lot of people would probably have been a lot more excited for the PS5 launch on the Xbox side, having not had to eat this, take this pill. But I think for those that are genuinely, PlayStation 5 fans, this is going to be really awesome for them. You're not going to really see much of a difference between the Xbox and the PlayStation versions. So you'll be able to just kind of go in and enjoy the game the way everyone else does. And I like that because that's at the end of the day, I think everyone's goal is just to kind of get more people interested in Sea of Thieves. I hate that the video or that the image that they're using on this news site shows like a bunch of pirates kind of hanging out at Port Merrick with like a little fox running around and stuff, because that doesn't happen. Like, it just reminds me that we don't have NPCs in towns. Why don't we have NPCs in towns that just wander around? It's all I want. They won't give it to me. Maybe for my birthday. Hey, by the way, birthday's in the beginning of July. Rare, if you wanted to get me something. You just put some NPCs walking around doing stupid stuff in towns. That'd be cool. You know, how much resources that take? You know, just keep it at 5 ships, you know? Put some NPCs walking. Yeah? No? All right. Whatever. Fine. Fine. You know what? I didn't want them anyway. Gah, the nerve. We are getting owls, which is kind of cool, though. So glad to see that. I have not gotten a chance to really play Sea of Thieves, unfortunately. Personal life really is kind of getting in the way of being able to play anything. I am trying to think of the last time I did play a game. When was the last time that I played something? Oh, no, it was Friday. Yeah, Friday. Man, I actually don't think I played anything yesterday, which is weird for me. Yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. I hope you guys all have a fantastic rest of your week. If you're jumping into the beta, keep an eye out for me. I will probably be sailing around looking for folks and seeing like what the experience is like. If anything, I think it'll be really kind of interesting to see people playing the game who either know everything about the game and know exactly what to do, and it's going to be bloodshed everywhere, or there's just going to be people like with their boats sailing off as they jump onto an island thinking that there's going to be a lot of anchor drops. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to see sails down and anchored ships at islands for that beta, and it's going to be glorious. And I can't wait because it's so much fun to see new people try and figure out this game. There's so much that I think people need to be able to check out. And actually, I'll tell you what. Here's your first tip for PlayStation fans going into the beta. There is an accessibility feature that you should really turn on when you start the game up, and it's called reduced hold to interact. And originally this was introduced as an accessibility option. This has become one of the biggest boons in terms of settings that you can turn on. Most interactions in the game require you to hold down the appropriate button till the time in the little completed circle thing fills up. With reduce to interact or reduce hold to interact, you will only need to press the button once to begin that process. You still need to visibly be pointed at the location of where that button interact is. Like if it's repairing or picking up an item, you still need to really be like, you have to actually be in visibility range of that or looking at it to be able to do that. But you don't have to actually hold the button down. This is something that I think so many Sea of Thieves players right now take for granted, that we just, it's not even a thought. We just hit the button and it does its thing. We never remember the fact that this was actually an option, that originally we had to hold down the button. It was such a wonderful breath of fresh air when we're like, oh, I don't have to hold it down. I just press the button. So yeah, that's going to be the first thing I recommend you guys actually like turn on. There's a few other hints that I want to give in the coming month with each episode to make sure that you guys have a little bit of nugget of fun stuff to kind of think about as you're going into launch. But yes, the first one, definitely go into the settings, find the setting that says reduce hold to interact. It will change your life. And if it doesn't, you already had a good life. So live with that. Pirates, that's going to do it for this episode. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to me either through the Discord. I have a Keel Hall Discord. The link is in the show notes. You can also reach out to me on Twitter or Threads at CAPT_LOGUN. There is technically an email for the show at CAPTLOGUN@gmail.com. Not really anyone really uses that. And if you like this content, definitely go back, check out some other stuff. If you're fresh coming to PlayStation, I definitely hope that you are prepared for the PvPvE madness that is Sea of Thieves. It's a fantastic game, and I hope you all enjoy it. And with that, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. So, Pirates, thank you. I love you. I look forward to sailing with you on the Sea of Thieves.